Join us for the Criterion Institute podcast as Joy Anderson, a global thought leader in business and social change, leads us through a series of discussions, interviews, frameworks, rants, and reframes that will help you better understand how to use finance as a tool for transformative systems change.
I am Joy Anderson, and this is the Criterion Institute podcast. Today, I'm speaking with Sana Kapadia about convergence. Sana is one of the finest leaders in the field of gender lens investing. Over the years and years that I've known her, she's been working to keep the field grounded and graceful. She's also on our board of directors at Criterion, which I'm very excited about. Convergence is a gathering born out of a vision nearly 22 years ago. Through intimate discussions, structured conversations, and moments of revelation, Convergence offers a sanctuary for diverse voices to come together. From the edges of the conference room to the center stage of dialogue, we discover how convergence reshapes our understanding of finance as a tool for social change. I begin with a reflection on the inception of convergence, highlighting its origins as a space for transformative dialogue. Then Sana shares her experience of Convergence 20, which is the one we just finished, but the previous ones as well, emphasizing its role in fostering meaningful conversations among diverse stakeholders. Finally, in the practice section of this podcast, I explore the significance of scripted acknowledgments at the beginning of each conversation, which set the tone for inclusive and respectful dialogue. Through the discussion, themes of empathy, trust, and the power of dialogue emerge, highlighting convergence as a space for reflection, connection, and collective action towards systemic change in and through finance and beyond. Enjoy. Nearly 23 years ago, Jackie Vanderbrug and I were at a conference sitting around the edges, wondering if we should go into a session and thinking what it would look like if the whole conference was just the side conversations, but maybe more structured. And so 6 months later, we hosted our first convergence. And initially, it really was a way to have the conversations in the edges, make them the point of the conference, make them what is primary, but organize them so you're not just bumping into people and figuring out what to talk about and then having 5 minutes left before you have to move on to something else. What convergence does as its core is it sets up a series of conversations, each one an hour and a half long. Those hour and a half long conversations have a topic that range from sort of framing conversations about how to think about things, talk about systems change as we did on our last convergence, or it's a strategy conversation, how do we approach this? Or it's a implementation conversation about how do we build the human capacity to implement these kinds of ideas, or it's a design conversation about exactly what ideas are we talking about. So the experience of convergence is literally made up of hour and a half long conversations with 10 to 15 people. And almost always, most of the people in that conversation, and we do them online, are strangers to each other. And they come from different fields. Convergence, in some ways, is a cross-pollinator. It's not just the people who are working on impact investing. It's not just the people working in development finance. It's not just the people working in grassroots activism on social justice campaigns, so often we go to the place where the other people who are working on the same thing we're working on go because it's efficient. And so the problem we're solving in convergence, with its simplicity and increasingly its ease, is a way to cross those boundaries, a way to build a conversation, and a real conversation, not a presentation and then some questions, but really a conversation with open space to think and challenging questions that go in just remarkable direction. Because we so rarely have that space to discover, to think. In some ways, the beauty of convergence is it isn't an instrument. It is not trying to achieve a single thing. It's not a very good place to like network and raise money, although lots of people have. It's a place to have the surprising conversations. And the reality is, many of us day to day in our work aren't surprised anymore. We kind of got it figured out. Where are the places where we can go just wonder?
Hey, Sana. You know, there's these ways that, like, you can go to a therapist, right? And make sense of your own life. You can go to you can sit with your spouse or your partner and make sense of your life together. You can have a meeting in your organization and make sense of what's going on there. You can maybe bring together a collaboration and make sense of how you're working together with a bunch of organizations. But there's something different that happens in convergence where people come together from different walks of life, from different perspectives, and are making sense. It's always with strangers, right? What does that feel like? What does that do for you?
I think what I love about convergence and why I think the safety of that space is so nourishing, it's because it's one of the only spaces that I think you get to be a part of where, yes, you get to make sense of seemingly complex or not seemingly, but definitely complex subjects, particularly around the, you know, when we're talking about power and systems, these are, they need to be broken down. And so not only do you have space to talk through that, but also share examples, connect with each other in a very human way. I think the invitation also to have a very empathy-based conversation creates that safety where people feel heard and diverse perspectives are really valued. So combine like talking about a complex topic, being in a room of possibly strangers, but possibly people you've known in different capacities or haven't worked necessarily as closely with. And you see that you're kind of wrestling with some of the same challenges and some of the same patterns that are coming up, but you're also seeing or hearing, I should say, what's been working or not working for people too, right? So it's a very comforting space in that sense. And there will always be, I think every convergence for me, there's always been like a mic drop moment or something that really like just comes to life for you that you've been trying to wrestle with, but just didn't know how to connect the dots. So I think it's a very special.
Do you have any examples of mic drop moments for you?
I distinctly remember, I think it was 2 years ago probably, and I forget which of the conversations it was in, but the epiphany for me was like, oh, if we're going to change the system, we have to make the incumbents believe it's their idea. And that wasn't necessarily something I came up with, but it was just through this passage of being with fellow, you know, travelers and kind of being like, right, okay, it's not us. We're all converted. It's like, how do we work with? We just get other people to believe it's their idea, you know? So things like that that just stick with you. And then you try and carry that with you in your work.
I think it's interesting how, you know, so often we go to conferences, and this is why, you know, Jackie Vander Brug and I so many years ago thought this up, right? So, but this is our 20th time doing this. And it's sort of, as we've practiced this over the years, and it hasn't actually changed very much, but as we've practiced it, I think one of the differences is when you're sitting at a conference and you're taking in information, I sometimes have, oh, really cool thoughts, like, oh, that's a great idea, or that's a great way to say that, which is super helpful. But I think there's something that you're naming about really sorting things through for yourself, not just learning what somebody else thinks, but that kind of synthesis integration, because nobody said to you directly, most likely, the incumbents need to see it as their idea, but it's the, you're wrestling with something in your head, and then as you're interacting with other people, you're making sense and your own ideas are changing. Why does that happen in convergence and not at a conference normally?
I do think that the way convergence is structured has a role here, an important role here, because you go through this beautiful arc of an experience that starts with the framing all the way through strategy, design, implementation, and that kind of that journey, that your individual and collective journey that you go through. I think that's a really important part of also helping you realize that you're distilling at different points and, you know, kind of putting things together. I do think it's also that you're surrounded by people who are really passionate. They really care. Everyone might come from different walks of life and might be in different parts. Some are in finance, some are not in finance. And I think truly that diversity of that, of the spectrum, helps you really acknowledge lived experience in a very visceral way, because sometimes someone will share an example that really brings to life, or will say something that will challenge your thinking. And I think that having the safety of that space where you can have that paradox sort of live alongside, like, I have my view, you have your view, and that's okay. And we're still, you know, I think it's very solidifying because of that, that you, again, have that space and have those conditions that really enables you to feel, right, I'm not alone. I think that's a big thing, right? Because sometimes, particularly for those of us who are in the gender finance space, we might be the only ones in our team or the only ones in our organization that's like the key advocate. But when you're surrounded by others who are doing that as well, there's a sense of allyship that's really important, and that you build relationships with people that then, you know, can go on and do other things. And I think there's something very, for me, that's very human about those interactions. It's deeply relational. And I think that's the beautiful joy of this experience.
And maybe just one other angle that I think is, that came to mind as you were talking, which is, in many places where we come together, you have a choice to be passive, right? You have a choice to sit in a way that you are just observing, you're just taking things in. And I think that's important, right? There's all kinds of places where we want to be learners and we just want to be hearing what other people are working on. But since there aren't any speakers at Convergence, from the beginning of any conversation, you're invited to speak. And if you don't have anything to say, you don't have to speak. But I think there's both an agency and an accountability that comes with that says, that I think helps build that safety, but also build different kinds of relationships. Because I'm not just sitting back, I'm the expectation is that I'm engaging with you, not that we're simply passively exchanging thoughts back and forth, but that we're actually, we're not lobbing thoughts back and forth. We're literally engaging in a conversation for the whole time.
Absolutely. And I think like small things like the invitation in each meeting to like change your posture, throw your baggage out, like all these things, they might seem small, but they really help you embody what it means to, I'm entering this space with compassion, with grace, with trust. I think that's the thing for me, the word that was coming up when you were speaking is trust. I think that there is this innate sense of trust that's built between people. And you're right. And it's actually sometimes it's really beautiful to see how there'll be like a build up between what folks say, or you'll go off in a different direction because of what one person said and then come back. And it's just, it's organic and fluid, and it's just the nature of a well-facilitated dialogue.
Well, I will say convergence would be nothing without the human beings who sort of step in and make these conversations work. And so I love that you show up for each and every one of them and each year come back and spend a month with us in these amazing conversations.
It's my pleasure. And there's never a dull moment, and you always walk away with lots of notes and things that you want to sort of learn more about and read all the papers or reread, because you've read them once, but you're like, oh, I've got to refresh myself. So it's a pleasure.
Over the last few years of convergence, we've developed a new practice. As we begin each conversation, we have a short script. And the script, we read it aloud. It almost always has hand gestures attached to it or some bodily movement, but it's meant to ground us in the conversation, to acknowledge what's going on in the room, and to have a set of phrases that repeat. So when we came up with this at the beginning, when we were working on a convening around gender-based violence, and we felt like it was really important at the beginning of a conversation about gender-based violence and finance to remind the room that there were survivors in the room, that literally in the time in which it took for us to have this conversation, somebody would die of gender-based violence. And so just getting that grounding to remind people that this was not an abstraction, but a lived experience in the world and for people in the room. So as we take on different topics, we've adapted these acknowledgments. For example, in the acknowledgement for this year's convergence, which is focused on all things systems, we really wanted to address the way people talk about abstract things, right? If we're going to be talking about systems, what are the possibilities that people will be disembodied or actively aggrandizing their ideas? So the acknowledgement we read is as follows. As we transition into this conversation, take your hands off the keyboard and physically shake away distraction. Here, we ask that you practice three values. First, to be hospitable, to welcome the stranger, knowing the stranger will change you. Seek to be changed rather than to change. Imagine not only how your voice will be heard, but how many voices play off of each other. Take a moment to shift your posture to a stance that is opening to encountering the stranger you will meet. Second, invite with abundance. Know that you belong. Take a moment, look at the screen. Acknowledge who took the risk to respond to our invitation. Many wait to be invited, yet we have the power to invite. Who will you invite? Third, to find grace. Open your mind and be prepared for new possibilities. Expect to be surprised. Shape your hands into an imaginary ball. Let's imagine this ball represents the burden we often carry into conversations where we assume that we need to know the right answer and that there is only one right answer. You know the weight of this burden. So now, point this imaginary ball towards your nearest window or door and toss it out. And let us begin. It's the repetition of this acknowledgement that in each conversation, they're going to hear it the same or with small modifications based on the facilitator, similar phrasing. And in that, it addresses power dynamics. It, again, in the way that this is framed, calls out some of the power dynamics that might be in the room and reminds everybody each time that we are trying to address them. In this one, we literally took our three values of grace, hospitality, and invitation and built the acknowledgement around it. But in others, that hasn't been true. It still evokes our values, though. It still invites people into a conversation with a kind of openness that they can see how they will be changed and see how they can be responsible for the conversation, be responsible for inviting others. Now, I will say writing these acknowledgments is not easy. Once you've got them, they're pretty easy to repeat, right? In some ways, it's just the comfort to be able to say, I'm going to say something cheesy at the beginning of every meeting. But I think the practice is really about figuring out what needs to be said in this conversation and saying it in a way that is open, that isn't judgy, that isn't, remember to not take up too much space in the room, but rather invite people into a conversation. Think about how your words blend with others rather than saying, please don't talk too long. Think about how you want people to see their contributions into the conversation. And so the reading out of it doesn't take much, but the thoughtfulness that goes into to designing what this acknowledgement says is actually quite challenging and usually takes us the better part of a month. So with that, think about the next conversation you're going into. What do you want to acknowledge at the beginning of that conversation? And how can you do it in a way that it will be heard and create a new kind of openness?
To learn more about our work, visit us at criterioninstitute.org. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Your reviews help our podcast reach a wider audience. Thanks for listening.